This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Sunday, 4:05 is the kick at Northwest Stadium, Landover, Washington, an 8-point favorite over the Panthers, who come in 1-5 into this one. Travis Hancock is the co-host of the Mac and Bone Show on 92.7 FM in Charlotte. He joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Travis, thanks. Real quickly, before we get to the game, I'm just curious in, you know, the Carolinas, how big of a topic today is the Tony Bennett retiring story for you guys?
It's been a massive deal, you know, with all the college football teams down here. And, of course, the Panthers taking on Washington on Sunday. That's the paramount stories. But no doubt that Tony Bennett, a massive deal here because we're already, you know, down here, the landscape of college basketball here in the Carolinas, you know what that means down here.
Yeah.
It's an ever-changing thing, and we already have a hard enough time. I'm a Duke fan. Don't hold that against me, but it's already hard enough for a lot of fans to know who's on the Duke roster. There's an ever-changing landscape of guys in the portal for all the teams down here in the Carolinas. But what's been identifiable for so long has been the coaches. Roy at UNC, well, that changed. Kay at Duke, that changed. And then, you know, Tony Bennett was synonymous with Virginia, and now that changes. And so it's been yet another thing down here where we have to stop and say, man, how much has the sport that means so much down here really been altered yet again in quite a shocking way? Not shocking that a coach would leave the sport now, but I think it's all about the timing of when he did it.
Yeah, that is definitely, you know, worthy of a discussion. Look, I'm a Maryland guy, and yeah. I, you know, it's been 10 years now, if you can believe it, that we've been out of the ACC, and it's still hard for me to get used to the new digs in the Big Ten. But then again, I mean, you know, Duke's going to play SMU and Cal in conference games this year. That's just stupid, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
It is. It doesn't make any sense, and you could go through all the conferences and find, you know, we got Rutgers is playing UCLA. That old storied rivalry, right, of Rutgers playing UCLA. Yeah. But no, it's it's a hit for all, you know, you're a Maryland guy, and we love the sport, but, you know, it's we're losing a lot of what we know about it. There's still some names hanging around, but they're getting older, like Cal, Patino, Izzo, Self. They're big names. But they're gone, and you expected Tony Bennett and Jay Wright, although not young per se. We thought those were two guys that were the next guys that were going to be the iconic legends to carry the sport into the next, you know, decade or so. And man, it's quite shocking that we're at this point now, where even Tony Bennett, a guy we all counted on as being a guy forever there, that he's gone too. So yeah, it is a big deal here, to answer your question.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sport because of, you know, the same reason you, the same reason me, growing up as an ACC basketball fan, lifelong. It's just different. I think the sport overall, Travis, it's a 1 month out of the year sport. You know, over the last 10 years, basically, you know, the casual sports fan never pays attention until March. And even the hardcore fan, it's hard to pay attention until March, in part because the NFL's just become so dominant year-round. But it's just not the same.
Yeah, even here, like on our show, like we get heavy into it, but you're right. It's it's usually the first Duke Carolina game that kind of sets the tone here, where people start to notice, and even the diehard fans are there during Feast Week. But you know, that's really the time when the casuals start. It takes something to happen in that game, so we're really locked in from mid February till the end. But you're right, you know, even November, December now, despite a lot of great games being played, it takes the average casual fan until football is completely done to really buy it. So it's a byproduct of college basketball coming down to what we know growing up, and football just dominating the entire landscape.
Real quickly, is Duke in football? Do they win tomorrow or not?
It's actually today against Florida.
Oh, that's right. It's tonight.
Yeah, they have that. Yeah, they have that always prime game everybody's eyes are on, the ACC Friday night game. Yeah, they got Florida State at home. They're 3-point favorites. They have not beaten Florida State ever. It's 20 in a row since Florida State joined the conference. It feels like now would be the time, but, you know, college football is crazy, man. You never really know who's what week to week. Florida State's down. They played a little better against Clemson despite being blown out. Duke, one loss. It's to Georgia Tech. Good start for Manny Diaz. They play the games relatively close, though. So I think Duke wins, but I think this is going to be one that comes out to the end, because that's the way kind of Duke plays the games. And I think they'll figure out a way, but it might be very close, I think, to that 3-point spread.
Yeah, Denton, I'm kind of liking the Noles tonight plus the points. It seems like everybody thinks Duke wins and Florida State's season is sunk. I actually thought Florida State played Clemson much tougher than maybe the final score indicated in their last game. Anyway,
yeah,
let's get to Sunday. First of all, let me just start with this. Is Bryce Young going to ever get another opportunity in Carolina?
Yeah, I think he's going to play at some point this year, just because they have to figure out, you know, the evaluation of him. Like, what do they think of him? So he's got to mentally, I think, rest for a while. But I think just for trying to figure out what his value is going into the offseason. So as I've said, you know, the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 games maybe, because you need to know what he is coming back off the bench. It may not be for yourself. You know, you've got to try to judge what's the potential trade value. So I think he's going to have to get in there. The problems are so deep. There was a lot of issues, and you guys are Washington fans. You guys know when it comes to, you know, organizations that just can't seem to ever get it right. And Bryce Young last year had to learn 3 different playbooks in his first offseason. Frank Wright kept changing the playbook, three play caller changes back and forth throughout the year. So last year we felt, yeah, how does any rookie quarterback overcome all that with a bad team anyway? So we thought Dave Canales comes in this year, you know, Bryce is going to take that leap up away from last year. Only one guy in his ear now as opposed to last year. The problem was last year, I'm sure it's happened in D.C. before too, the kid appears traumatized by how bad it was last year. So he's got physical limitations, and he was mentally strong coming out of Bama, but he got completely wrecked by this organization where he has to sit, mentally rest. Shouldn't be in there now, although he is a direct backup to Dalton, which is kind of weird that he's so close to the field. But I think end of the year, for the evaluation of him, he's got to play, but certainly right now, he needs to sit for as long as he can.
So you brought it up, and we're talking to Travis Hancock from 92.7 FM Sports Radio in Charlotte. Yes, we're very familiar with dysfunction, you know, a quarter century of the worst owned team in professional sports. And I've suggested recently that Carolina and David Tepper may have taken the Snyder mantle. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, 100%. I mean, chasing the quarterbacks and the constant changing of coaches and the fan base that, you know, just wants the owner to somehow go, even though you can't trade or cut an owner. It's not how it works. But that mindset of tired of the owner, business decisions that are questionable. So, yeah, I don't think it's exact, because Daniel Snyder, there's a lot of layers to the whole comparison. It's not exact, but I think in terms of how the community feels about him, the lack of winning, the the constantly chasing something instead of doing maybe what's better for the franchise, constant quarterback trades, GM changes. Oh, yeah, we talk about it all the time. He had a business deal down here for the practice facility right across the border in a city in South Carolina. They were putting a practice facility. It fell apart, and he got into a back and forth with the government of that city. And one of the guys in the process publicly called him Daniel Snyder. And apparently,
really?
Like, it made him.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And he got, you know, from what we know, he does not like that. So that may have caused a rift there. That went, yeah, he got called in an online, I don't know if it was audio, it might have been audio for him, but yeah, he got called the new Daniel Snyder, and he did not like that. So that is very, very, very much a thing that is talked about often about where we are right now.
All right, let's talk about the game. I watched the game last week. I think Hubbard's one of the better backs and maybe one of the more underrated backs in the league. And offensively, if they don't turn it over and they don't get penalized, they actually are capable. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's exactly it. The formula for them to have success, and the one time they did against the Raiders, Andy Dalton's first game, it kind of played out that way where the Panthers almost have to play as perfect a game as they can. No turnovers. They have to try to get a lead because Chuba Hubbard is that good. He's on pace for 1,384 yards this year. That's 13 yards off the all-time pace for a Panther season set by McCaffrey. And they have to go away from him a lot, Kevin, because they get so far behind, they can't actually churn out a lot of yards. So he's
right.
Picking up yards. He could have a 1,500-yard season if they actually had a lead, but they can't turn it over, and they almost have to have the other team kind of melt down and gift them stuff. The Raiders, when they beat them and blew them out, they were awful that day. They were beating themselves. They weren't there. They were a terrible football team. So the Panthers have to play at their highest level that they can, no turnovers, get the run game going, and the other team almost has to just have one of those, oh, my gosh, we fell apart days. And the offense can score 30 points, and Washington can still win this game, you know, 41-30. This is right now, and this isn't hyperbole, the numbers bear out, the worst Panther defense ever. And there's a lot of reasons for that, injuries and a couple guys that you have there, and Luvu and Chin, and there's things that have happened here. Derrick Brown out for the year.
Right.
But, yeah, no, the offense can get humming here against Washington or anybody, and they still may lose by 10. It's just the way they are right now.
Yeah, I mean, Washington's had a very difficult time stopping the run. I mean, they are not a good run-stopping team. I think they're 30th in yards per carry against. And really, you know, in some of their games where they had big leads, you know, Arizona and Cleveland, the other teams were reduced to throwing the football. If they can run the football and hold on to it, I think it could be a game. But defensively, it's bad because of the injuries, or is it just bad because of the personnel in addition to the injuries?
Well, it was going to be a step back because when you lose Luvu, especially Chin here, Jeremy Chin, it just wasn't working out. So a change of scenery probably was for the best. Luvu was kind of the heart and soul of the operation last year, and that was. We know that he wanted to play for Dan Quinn, so we kind of knew what was where that was headed. But we're taking him out of there. Brian Burns gets traded to the Giants. Derrick Brown, who is absolutely unbelievable to watch every game.
He is.
At defensive tack. Underrated to some degree nationally, but he goes out game one for a team that was already going to kind of have some defensive issues. You take those guys away. Shaq Thompson goes out for the year. They've had injuries all over the place for a team that we were just hoping could play average. Even I've never seen Buster maneuvering and all these things, and they're just trying to hang on for dear life from the onset of games. The thing that really scares us about the matchup against the Commanders is they can't stop the run at all anyway, and we've seen this year against the Panthers Joe Burrow escape pressure. Caleb Williams escaped pressure. They faced Carr and Herbert. They haven't exactly faced anyone nearly as dynamic as Jaden Daniels is. So we're thinking, man, if they're having trouble stopping running backs and quarterbacks that aren't necessarily the quarterbacks that run the football, this could be a very long day when you factor in the run game with the backs for you guys and Jaden Daniels. This is another element that they haven't had to deal with yet this year, and they've already had problems stopping quarterbacks that can't move very well.
Last one. Do you expect them to be sellers as we approach the trade deadline? I mean, Deontay Johnson's name's been mentioned a lot. I've seen J.C. Horn's name mentioned a couple of times. What do you think Carolina does before the trade deadline?
Kevin, great question, because on ESPN yesterday, Adam Schefter put up his 10 possible trade guys, and five of them, I think, were Carolina Panthers. So we actually got on a graphic one time where we led the league in something. It was most tradable players. I don't think J.C. Horn gets down. He's too valuable. We talk about all the guys that are gone. No, they need him for the future. He's got to be there. Deontay Johnson's fascinating. Also, by the way, keep in mind, he's not practiced the last couple of days. We don't exactly know his status. If he's not in there, that's major trouble. Now, Deontay Johnson's a name talked about a lot because Kansas City needs wideouts. The GM here, the cap guy here, Brant Tillis, came from Kansas City. So there's a natural tie-in there. So Deontay, a free agent coming up. He comes up there. I don't think they should, but it wouldn't shock me. The guy you mentioned in there that people may not realize is a free agent that we talk about a lot is Chuba Hubbard. The guy I mentioned getting all the yards, he's a free agent coming up this offseason, and the Panthers in this past draft moved up and took the first running back in the draft in the 40s, Jonathan Brooks, the kid out of Texas. So now we're thinking, like, you made the move up for Brooks. Chuba's a free agent. He's very valuable. But if he's a top five running back in the league, what's he going to command? So Chuba Hubbard is a name. I would say for sure I think he'd be dealt, but I don't know, man. You could see a team like Dallas or somebody like that.
I was going to say, that's the obvious place is Dallas is looking for a running back.
He's a free agent. He's knocking on the door for what would be a big payday for running backs now. So Deontay and Chuba are two names that we're talking about a lot. I wouldn't say absolutely they're gone, but I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to see where they go with all these guys that could be dealt.
All right. Thanks for this, Travis. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you, Kevin.
Yep. Travis Hancock, everybody, at T-Bone WFNZ on X on Twitter. He is the co-host of the Mac and Bone Show on 92.7 FM Sports in Charlotte. Yeah, you know, you look at their roster. That's interesting. So Hubbard's a pending free agent. They're not going anywhere this year. Are they going to sign him when they drafted Jonathan Brooks, you know, early? What do you think they could get from the Cowboys for Hubbard right now?
Probably at least definitely a fourth. I can't imagine.
I was going to say. I was going to say probably like a fourth, you know, a fourth rounder. That would not totally fix Dallas's issues, but it certainly would help if they had a back and they could run the football. But they got issues so many other places. Denton, he's really good.
He is.
Like, he has really good balance, really good quick vision. I mean, never takes a direct hit. When he does, he's able to, you know, still stay up and get yards after contact. He's on pace for 1,300 yards. And like Travis said, they've been in games where they basically had to abandon the run and start throwing the football. The key for them, you know, if they're even worried about trying to win a football game, is to stay in the game score-wise so that they can continue to keep him a big part of what they're doing offensively. And it is a matchup for them that's perfect, because they're going against a real flawed run-stopping defense. This is the thing that I would be concerned about that. I think he said something else too. You can't let them get a lead and play like they are in the game. They got a lead last week, but it got away from them in part because of turnovers in the second half, and the game got sideways. But it was a one-score game with them on the move before one of Dalton's two picks in the second half against the Falcons. If he doesn't, you know, throw a couple of picks, and look, Washington's not taking the ball away from anybody at a high rate. They've got four total takeaways on the season, one pick. If they don't turn it over, if they don't self-inflict early in drives with penalties, I think they're going to score. You know, I think they could easily score 24, 27 plus. But like Travis said, Washington should be able to score 30 plus. Feels kind of like an over game. Carolina, Washington.
Don't you think everyone's going to be on the over, though? Isn't that against
your
code?
Yeah, they were last week, too, and they were right.
That's true.
Last week was the single biggest public Sunday in over a decade. Sportsbooks took the biggest bath and beating they've taken in over 10 years. What were favorites last week? 11-2-1, something like that. 10-3-1, whatever it was. I was right there with them. It did not work out well for me either. Usually they bounce back with big weeks, but they had already had some big weeks NFL-wise through the first 5 weeks of the season. You know, the NFL was crushing. Sports books were crushing the public better for the first 5 weeks, but man, they got it back last week in 1 week in a big way. Interesting matchup Sunday. I feel like this game is just, our fan base is like, 5-2, chalk it up. When have we been able to say chalk it up against anybody? they should be able to move the football, though, no doubt. They should be able to move it and score points, and the key is just, you know, stopping them a few times. You know, create that two-score lead, and then, you know, it's pretty much over. All right, Denton and I will do the NFL's other games on Sunday next. By the way, there are some big games in the 1 o'clock window and the biggest game of the year when you're talking about a Super Bowl rematch in the late afternoon window. We'll do that. Smell test coming up next hour. Denton will do a quick college football preview. We've got one of the biggest games of the year.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
On Saturday night, Georgia and Texas will predict Washington, Carolina as well. All of that and more coming up on the Kevin Sheehan Show. The Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.